Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Long Island, and money-making Manhattan. Home of Bashani Radio App.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom, now we here. Bashani Radio App, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Now we here.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Hello, hello, everybody. You are with Savannah Murphy with All In, where your existence is authentically you. We talk real talk in real time, and let's go. Today, I am so excited for our guest because she is just an amazing human being, but she is such a powerful being too. We have Alexandria Taylor with us, who she is a mom. She is a lawyer. She's an entrepreneur that owns her own law firm. She is running for 34th District Court Judge local in her community. And I mean, I'm just touching a surface with her community outreach, her involvement. I mean, she just goes and goes and goes. Just talking about it makes me tired. But with that being said, thank you, Alex, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It is definitely an honor to be here this morning. You know, as you said, I'm running for 34th District Court Judge now. This is definitely an exciting time. You know, when I started out this journey, which began with a lot of prayer, I never imagined like how the world would change in a short couple months. And so it's definitely much different than I set out. But you know, a lot of changes have happened in the past couple months, and I can only attribute it to God's plan and purpose for my life. And so I'm rolling with it.
Yeah, you are all about purposeful living. And
very much so.
We touch a lot about that with motivation and inspiration mm-hmm. here on this show. And, you know, with that being said, I just want to inspire our listeners by having you share a little bit about, what happened to you kind of at a young age where loss impacted the trajectory of your life. And then, you know, go into how this kind of developed and how everything, you know, kind of went full circle to you getting into law and why. So if you're ready, I'm ready.
Yes. So 5 years ago, it started with first my dad passed away. And then within 6 months, I lost my mom to cancer. And it kind of sent me in somewhat of a tailspin. And even though I've always been very purpose-driven and have grown up, you know, I grew up in the church and have always been involved, I would say that I really wasn't living the life that I was supposed to live because I kind of had like a safety net. Mm-hmm. And the baby of the family, I've always been very spoiled. You know, so it was kind of very cushy up until that point. And, you know, really after my mom passed, because we were extremely, extremely close, I kind of went through a period of like trying to find myself, you know, like, what am I doing? And that's why I always, you know, when I talk to people now, I'm so transparent because I think of like the danger of social media, because if you would have looked at my Facebook, even though I was transparent about what I was going through, but nobody really knew because, you know, I can, just like a lot of people, you can put on a good face, you know, mm-hmm. So you look at the real and it's like, well, you know, she's hurt, but things are still going really well. But deep down inside, there was a lot of inner turmoil. And I had to get to this place where it was more so like a complete dependence on God, where it's like, okay, you know, I don't have my parents and now I'm the matriarch of my family at 34. And it's like, now what do I do? Like, where is my place in the world? And it took, you know, it took a few years to get there until I really started like living my purpose-driven life, you know, fulfilling like what I'm supposed to do. And a big part of that, what came out of that, was teaching, you know, mm-hmm. teaching in different ways. And so I started working through my firm. I started working with Wayne State and interning undergraduate students. And I found it just so fulfilling, like teaching others about the law. Mm-hmm. So I've always been really, really passionate about the law and about our justice system. But it delved into, you know, I started to delve into teaching others like what it means to be a lawyer. So when we look at a lot of things in our system and we talk about how it's broken, but what are you doing to fix it? You know, like lawyers, you know, people don't start out being unethical. They don't start out like somehow they get that way. And so for me, it was big to like pour into young people to show them what it's like and the challenges and the difficulties. And especially because I mostly mentor young women, the difficulties for women and balancing, you know, family and your career and what that looks like in real life, you know. Mm-hmm. So you see it on TV, you see it on Facebook and the pretty side of it, but what does it really look like? And so that's kind of what it morphed into. And then this year I actually started teaching for real at the law school. And it was just another building block in fulfillment of like what I'm supposed to do. And it's just like get joy out of teaching others to be great, you know. Mm-hmm. So most, especially in the legal field, it's a lot of competitiveness. You know, nobody wants to help you because they don't want you to one-up them. But I just don't have that belief system, you know. I feel like what God has for me is for me. So if I help you, I don't care if you practice the exact same area of law as me and you do something that's 10 times greater, then that's just what God has for you. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, in a nutshell, kind of how the journey changed like over the past 5 years.
And that's, you know, that's so being able to take what, you know, here you are, you know, you kind of knew you wanted to be a lawyer at a young age, right? So, and you did the things you had your mom and dad kind of pushing you and backing you and your whole family really, right? Because you had this foundation and you were the baby, like you said. But even with that, we all, and I love it that you're sharing this because, and you're so successful in so many different measures, just not monetary, you know, I mean, you've enriched so many lives, but really touching on that, you know, even from the facade of looking perfect and from, you know, having this picture perfect life or this easy growing up existence, you still came from humble beginnings. You know, the community you grew up in, it definitely has rough patches and also has, you know, good patches to it too, but you really kind of had to change your whole way of looking at life after you lost your parents and pick yourself up by your bootstraps, still being a mom, still having this, you know, career in law, and figuring out, okay, how do I change what I thought was going to happen to what actually is?
Yeah, that was the biggest part. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's like everything that I thought about myself, that I thought about life, the world, what I wanted to do, like everything shifted, you know, at that point. And it's like, how do I navigate this? Like, how do I get past this? While at the same time, you know, I have my kids and there were so many changes within a short period of time. So it's like my mom passed in November 2015. Mm. And I took roughly like a month off work because, I mean, obviously when you're self-employed, you can't take off, you know, you don't have any type of leave.
Right.
So I took a month off work and then I ended up having to abruptly move from my house to into my mom's house, get movers. And so I'm trying, you know, as a parent, it's like you try to shield your kids, you know, from so much, because like so many changes within a few months. And so you're trying to put on like a happy face for them because at the same time, their whole world just changed too, you know,
and
they were so young. And so just trying to keep myself afloat while also, you know, making sure that they were okay. I mean, it definitely was a tough time and it really did change the trajectory of my life. But the reason, and I tell people this, you know, there's no difference than me and anyone else. You know, the thing is that I'm grounded in faith. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing, you know, that got me through. And I always like to make that clear to people. And they look at me and they're like, well, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. But it's only by the grace of God.
Right, because there's only so much time in the day, and sister, you use right. all 24 hours.
Right, all of that. So just getting by day to day and doing that, I mean, that's really what it is. And so, yeah, now some days I look and I'm just like, now that I've been forced to be still during this time, during the quarantine, it's like, how did I do so much in a day? Because I get up at like 4 to work out every day because self-care is important, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just like they tell you when you get on an airplane, put your own mask on first, you know?
Right.
So you take care of yourself first because you can't pour from an empty cup. So like physical fitness is important, and the days start early and they end late because, you know, as you know, even when you work all day, you come home, it's like you still have to be a parent and, you know,
you have to be present, right?
Be present, you know, ask about their day, make sure everything is going on and, you know, still pour into them.
Yes. So with that, so we know, you know, obviously the loss that you suffered and, you know, while learning to kind of grow into the person you are while being yeah. a mom and wearing these hats. And we know that, you know, you've always had a passion for law. So that was, you know, a clear indication for what kind of was steadfast to your career path. Yeah. But why opening the Taylor Law Firm? What pushed you into that? Because, and I love it because I love all your social media yeah. memes, and you've been there for me in times where I needed advice, and I've, you know, always push out your information because I think it's so important to have someone who's so good in that field that you're in. You know, you yeah. really have to have a good communicator, and you're great at that. So why?
So I was working at a firm, and I was working for a really high profile lawyer, and things were going well. And in my mind, so I always knew that I wanted to be a judge, you know, even before I went to law school. So in my mind, you know, I would stay at this firm because it was a highly political firm. And, you know, I was planning, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay here until I go to the bench. You know, whenever mm-hmm. that point in time is, and for lay people, a lawyer has to practice for 5 years before you can even, you know, run for judge. But, you know, I wasn't under any certain time frame. I'm just like, I'm going to stay at this firm. About a year before I opened the firm, Taylor Law Firm, I started getting restless, where I felt like I was supposed to be doing something else. And I guess I was kind of running from it because I'm just like, it's the unknown. You know, mm-hmm. I was comfortable. And I am one of those people that, you know, I like being comfortable. Like I really have to push myself. And so I was comfortable there. And I'm just like, you know, I don't want to open my own firm. But then something, I just kept feeling something in my spirit. So I started researching, you know, opening your own firm. And it's weird because my parents were entrepreneurs. So I just never saw myself like that. You know,
they instilled that in you.
Yes. So, you know, I just didn't see that in myself. And so that's the importance of like people around you who see what you don't see. And that's why I tried to do that to young people. But yeah, I just didn't see it. And so I started researching. And so I came to talk to my parents, my mom and my stepdad. And I was like, you know, I think I'm supposed to open my own firm. And my mom just looked at me and she was like, we were just waiting for you to realize it, you know? Mm. So that was the importance of like having them a good support system. And so they invested, they made the capital investment because as a new lawyer, I wasn't making any money, you know? And I was
right.
a mom of 2 kids. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise. You know, I'm just being honest. I wouldn't have been able to do it. So they made the investment. They, you know, I found my office space, but they paid my rent for me my mom paid my rent, I'm gonna be honest, until she passed. but
she made that investment in you and your future. And that was her final legacy.
Yeah. So she made that investment. And, you know, looking back, I'm so happy because I remember when I had my 1 year anniversary party that Rob and I did. And at that point in time, my mom she did have cancer and she was in chemo, but she came out and the look on her face, like I will never forget. Like, I'm so happy that I took that leap of faith and that she was able to see that before she passed.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. And now it's kind of tailspin you into mentoring, you know, teaching and taking on a lot of these mentors to work at your firm, correct?
Yeah. So that's the thing. That's the amazing thing. And that's why I feel so led to do what I do with young people, which is just the same thing my mom did with me. Because think about if I would have never took that leap, you know, so you everything that came behind that, you know, has been so purposeful. But had I never took that leap of faith, and so it just gives me chills to think about that. So that's why I'm so passionate about mentoring young people, because all it takes is one person to pour into them and to realize, and I consider myself so fortunate and so blessed that I had a mother who could do that for me. But not everybody has parents like that, you know, not everybody has people like that in their circle. And so I just feel like I can be that person, and I see this greatness. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a little pulling out and a little reassurance. Like, some people know, but they're scared, you know, of stepping out of like a comfort zone. So yeah, it morphed into, you know, me getting involved with the colleges. And it started with Ferris State. They reached out to me. I have no idea how, because I have zero ties to Ferris. But I'm serious. It started out, that was my first intern, was from Ferris State. And then from there, Michigan State, which of course, you know, I went to State. And then from there, you know, working with Wayne State. And it just made sense, because Wayne State is in the heart of downtown. And, you know, so it's grown. And at this point, every semester, we have a waiting list for the internship. Like, that's how in demand it is.
Oh my goodness. And you know what? That is a perfect place where we're going to take a quick break, because I know we're going to segue into a little bit more after this, into so many things that you're doing, including running for district court judge. So we'll be right back.
Excellence, experience, prompt service. This is what you get from Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Jones Labor Services. We have over 20 years experience. Good Helpers is there to make your life easier. With 20 years experience, we can take care of any heating or cooling situation. Let Good Helpers help you. Call 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome back, everybody. You are with All In, where your existence is authentically you, brought to you by Bashani Radio out of New York City, where they're always talking about everything. And today we are always talking about everything Miss Alexandria Taylor, who, if you were are just tuning in right now, I really urge you, go back and listen to part one of this podcast, because she just gives a wealth of information about pouring, people that poured into her, and how she's outpouring into others, and just being a force to be reckoned with, really, in the law community and just in the local community, period. And as a woman, just an inspiration and motivation. But we've talked a little bit about tragedy, loss, just finding purpose, living purposefully, and why she got into law and why she opened her own law firm, which is Taylor Law Firm in Detroit, Michigan. And now we're about to jump into what she's doing now and what she is trying to now fulfill another dream. But Taylor, Alex, real quick, before we jump into that, why don't you give people a way that they can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. So I am on Facebook. My firm page is Taylor Law Firm, or you can find it by Tay Law Firm. And my judicial page is Alexandria for Judge. Anyone is always welcome to come to my personal page. It's pretty much public. It's Alexandria Taylor. All my contact information is on there. My cell phone is public. And so if anyone wants to reach out, feel free.
All right. Awesome. So let's jump into where you're at right now, and kind of now having the law firm. How many years have you had the law firm opened up now?
Five.
Oh my goodness. So 5 years and mom of three, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And just a community advocate, just like everything, wearing all the hats. And now you're putting on another one.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have, like I said, I've been wanting to run for judge before I even went to law school. And just like anything, it's always about timing. And so last year I started thinking about it. And at the end of last year, you know, I kind of went back and forth at first because, like I said, I do, you know, I will admit, like, sometimes I get comfortable and I have to push myself. And with me running for office 2 years ago, after I lost that race, like, it's kind of like post-traumatic after you go through a political race, you know, because mm-hmm. it can get ugly. And I just wasn't sure if I wanted to go through that again. I'm just like, you know what, I'm not going to be driven by fear. And so I started collecting signatures probably early January. And I mean, the decision, like I said, it was a no-brainer running for judge. It was just a matter of timing. And every day when I would run, my running route is by the court. And I would just look at the court and I don't know, it was just something within me like, you know, it's your time. Like, don't be scared. Mm. And really, a lot of prayer and talking with my family. And then I, you know, decided like, okay, now is now. And so I started collecting signatures. Then, you know, a lot of stuff started coming out in the media about our court. And so I initially was thinking that I wouldn't announce until the filing deadline, which is April 21st. But then I kind of changed up and, you know, decided like, okay, we're just going to do this. Let's come on out. But the reason that I've always been passionate about being a judge is because I look at judges as like the checks and balances on our judicial system. So mm-hmm. we all learned in elementary, you know, government checks and balances. And you look at a lot that goes on, and judges really are that checks and balances for the system. You know, you're balancing the interests of the people, which is a mm-hmm. prosecutor, protecting communities, while also balancing the rights, the constitutional rights of a defendant. And so it really is a great deal of responsibility. But when you look at, you know, some of the issues with our system and some of the injustices, I believe that, you know, there's a great responsibility for our judicial officers to be that checks and balance and not give in to like political pressure and those things. And so it's just something that I take the judiciary very seriously because it's a serious job. It's people's lives. Mm-hmm. And with the decision, because initially when I was going to run for judge, I had to decide whether I'd run countywide or district court. Mm-hmm. And here, that decision, you know, I made just because I felt such a pull to stay in the community, mm-hmm. you know, to stay right here. And it just seemed full circle to me, you know, it seemed full circle along with like the fact that I moved back, you know, my parents' house, like I can literally see the court from where I'm sitting right now. And it just felt like full circle, and that's where I was supposed to be. But just like anything else, you know, it's not going to be easy because there are several people running, but I just feel the Lord telling me, run my race, you know, don't worry about it. Just run my race.
This is definitely going to be a part of your story, no matter the outcome. Yeah. But, you know, you have my full backing. And I think that a lot of people in the community have seen how involved you are in the everyday people's, you know, daily fight and daily life in our community. So I think that that's a huge thing. And you also have, you know, just your faith just takes you to soar into different places. And we're almost running out of time, so I want to kind of wrap up with two questions for you. The first question being, 5 years from now, what is that, you know, what is that in your mind going to look like for you?
5 years from now, you know, as I continue to grow on this journey, my ultimate goal, I'll tell you, is to be on the Michigan Supreme Court. And so that is my ultimate goal. And how I get there, I just have faith in the Lord that He'll direct my path. Because we have our plans, but I want His plan to prevail. You know, I don't want to get in my own way. So I would like, you know, to obviously win this election and do something impactful in the community, because I don't believe in just getting a position and sitting there, but using that position to impact more lives and to do even more. And so, you know, I don't think 5 years, I'll be on the Supreme Court because I would like to sit on the bench for a while, but just doing more, continuing to teach. Mm-hmm. I'd like to write a book. I've been thinking about writing a textbook for law school or maybe for undergrad, but just using it and maybe taking the platform outside of Michigan.
Well, I love that. And I look forward to hopefully watching all of that develop into the reality. And I just commend you for the legacy that you're leaving for your children and continuing the legacy that your mom and dad left for you. Last question that I ask everybody is, what does being all in mean to you?
All in is being your true authentic self. You know, not what somebody wants you to be, not what they expect you to be, but who you really are. And when you are all in, I believe that you experience true joy, true fulfillment, and true purpose in life.
And that's so beautiful and so true. Thank you again for coming on. I urge everybody, whether you're obviously 34th District, listeners, I urge you to vote. Do you know, your community a service by making sure that you get your opinions out there. And anybody else that's listening that isn't in our direct community, voting's important, and knowing more about your candidates is important, and knowing how what their purpose is and how they're purposefully living. So thank you. We're all in, and now we're out.
All righty.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.